Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, welcome. Thank you so much for watching and listening. I've got a phenomenal book and guest to tell you about it today. It's going to be so exciting to talk with my brother Todd Hampson. He and Jeff Kinley came up with another fantastic book, and this is called A Visual Guide to the End Times. And man, this brother, they do the Prophecy Pros podcast. They're doing conferences. So much that they're doing, I have a hard time keeping up with these two. But Todd Hampson is with us, brother. ToddHampson.com, and of course, Prophecy Pros podcast.com. Brother, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's always great to join you, David. I'm so appreciate your ministry and what you're doing. This is needed for today. So anytime I get to join you, I'm all for it, man.
Oh, man, well, you guys put out a lot of great content and important information, what you teach about from the Word of God and Bible prophecy. But I want to thank you. I'm blessed to have this. Friends, we're pre-recording this podcast, but this will the book is out right now. You can order it right now. And either Amazon, or you can go to prophecyprospodcast.com, and it's a visual guide to the end times. It's a complete survey of the chronology and events of the last days. And I'll tell you, I was looking through it before we got on the podcast, and I told Todd, I said, brother, this must have taken so much work. So let's just start right there, Todd. And you and Jeff have written a lot of great books and have a lot of important information out there. So why this book now? And this must, as you said, it was a labor of love. Tell us about the process, and here we are, the book's ready for people.
Yeah, sure. It's so funny how, you know, God's always at work long before you are, and putting pieces together you didn't even know. So we had been, Jeff and I had been talking about, we wrote a book together that goes over 100 questions, but we're like, we need something that is kind of for all ages, and a lay person can pick it up and learn something from it, or a seasoned prophecy expert can pick it up and appreciate it. But really, we wanted to put together something that was comprehensive on the topic and really kind of tied together by a theme. And at the same time, Harvest House was toying with the same idea, that they had some older infographics book that needed updating, that had been around since like the 90s. And kind of needed a fresher version. And of course, they sponsor our podcast as well. So we just basically talked with them. And there's two other books in the series that I had the pleasure of illustrating. So I was already familiar with the process and all that. But Jeff and I got to literally, as a result of that, got to sit down, take our time, concept this book from concept. We did all the writing. And of course, I did all the illustration. But we basically wanted to take our time and develop a concept that ties it all together in a way that is kind of fun to read. You can bounce around it, or you can read straight through. But this is the result here, the visual guide to the end time. So it's heavy infographics, very visual, but really covers from many different angles the topic of eschatology from a biblical point of view, from how do you interpret prophecy all the way to the specifics, and also kind of some marching orders for people at the end. So it really is a comprehensive book that we hope will serve people well for many years to come, should the Lord tarry.
Yeah, there's so much in here, brother. My goodness. It's potential. When you first look at it going, wow, when you're just flipping through and go, where do I start? I guess I should go back to page one. But I do want to ask you about something, because this really is intriguing to a lot of people. And that is page 78-79, The Restrainer. Now, we hear a lot of things like, you know, what's holding things back now, or what's going to happen in the future. Talk to us a little bit about that, because a lot of people in the church go, okay, is that the Holy Spirit? Is that something? Is that God? Is that something else? Tell us about the restrainer briefly, because I know you've got some information in the book about it.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We read about that in 2 Thess 2. And basically, Paul was writing to the Thessalonians after he had already kind of trained them in eschatology. And then he was run out of town, and they were facing persecution. And some people came with some false reports trying to convince them that they were in the tribulation period. So to set the stage, 2 Thess 2 is all about Paul reminding them of what he already taught them and reminding them the order of events. So basically in chapter 2, he tells them point blank, and I'm paraphrasing here, but when you look at the logic and the steps, that the Antichrist cannot rise to power until after the restrainer is removed. So as you know, with any other topic, there's you know, different ideas about who the restrainer is. Some people say it's an angel. Some people say it's government, when government's taken out of the way. But when you look carefully at it, it makes most sense to believe that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. In that passage, the restrainer is referred to as both a he and an it. And it's not that the Holy Spirit is taken out of here. I mean, the Holy Spirit is God, one of the three persons of the Godhead. So he's omniscient, omnipresent. But the unique indwelling of the church during the church age is what's taken out of here. And a few verses before that, he's talking about the things that have to happen before the day of the Lord. So basically, in a nutshell, the church age began when the Holy Spirit came down to indwell the church, and the church age will end when the Holy Spirit indwelled church leaves via the rapture. And that lines up with many other passages in terms of, like, Paul saying when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, then Israel will be saved. That there's this period of time when God is focusing on the Gentiles during the church age. And so that's a long answer to your short question, but I believe it's thoroughly crystal clear that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit indwelled church who must be removed. And you could see how that could happen. Look at the evil in our day, how the church that is rising up to be the salt and light, like we're supposed to be, is pushing that evil back. You can imagine, for the first time in church history, when there's not a single Christian on the planet, how evil is just going to crash in. So it just makes total sense any angle you look at it.
Yeah. Thank you, Todd. Yeah. We think it's dark now.
Take
believers out with the Holy Spirit, and my goodness, I don't want to imagine what that's going to be like.
No.
So, brother, there are six sections to the book. How does that help people walk through this? Six different parts and sections.
Yeah, that's a great question. And we use kind of a flight theme because we wanted to give them, when we were brainstorming the concept, we were like, we really want them to have at certain times in the book, a 30,000 foot view to see the whole landscape of eschatology. But then we want to take them down close. So we kind of came up with this flight theme. So this flight theme is used throughout it. But basically the first section is called the flight plan. And it really is a foundational section that talks about church history and all the different ways eschatology has been interpreted. And then kind of we explain our view, which is the literal or plain sense view, meaning we take the Bible to mean what it says and says what it means from cover to cover. And it's one story. So that's the approach we take. And through that, you get very clear results and conclusions when you do Bible study. So, and in that section, we also go over one thing that always bugged me about some prophecy books is when they wouldn't show the other views, like they were afraid of people to see it. So we present all the key views in terms of, like, the timing of the rapture and the nature of the future kingdom age. We present those. And then, of course, we share our view, but we want to make people aware of the other views that are out there and how those popped up in church history. So that first section is pretty heady, but we have a lot of graphics in it, and it really lays the foundation. Section two is cruising altitude, again, going with that flight theme.
I like that.
And and in there, we're talking about basically the key events in chronological order. So we show exactly in what order the key events are going to take place, not every little detail, but the big broad brushstrokes. Then section three is flight crew and passengers. Like, who are the key figures of the end times? You know, we talk about, of course, the Antichrist and the false prophet and the two witnesses and 144,000. So all these key characters who pop up in the book of Revelation, we kind of list them out chronologically in order of appearance, like a movie, and unpack who they are. And then fourth section is forces of flight. As you know, David, there's a lot of mention of angels and demons in the book of Revelation. So we unpack all of those everywhere they pop up, again, kind of in chronological order as they appear in the text. And then section five is choosing your flight path. And this is where it gets really practical, is we talk about different responses to prophecy that people in the Bible had. And we give a bunch of biblical examples. And then we challenge the reader to not let it just be head knowledge, but to let this be something that impacts how they live in the world and how they respond to what we're seeing in the world today. And then last but not least, is pilot training. And we wanted to include a section that encourages pastors to teach the whole counsel of God and to not be afraid to teach Bible prophecy and eschatology. We see, as we travel the country, Jeff and I, over and over again, people coming to the Lord and growing closer to the Lord through the study of Bible prophecy. It takes the Bible from, you know, a dusty book that has ancient truths to something that's giving me insight and intel in the world today and means something to me right now. So we basically, in that section, we really we go along out of our way to equip pastors and to challenge them. Hey, be courageous. Teach the full word of God. If you don't know what it means, wrestle it to the ground until you do. You know, we give them a bunch of advice like that, but really wanted this to be a resource for pastors and youth leaders and that kind of stuff as well.
Thank you. Part six. Thank you.
You bet.
And I encourage
people,
this is very extensive and very thorough, friends, but that part six, pilot training, practical tips for leaders, that is so important. I think, Todd, a lot of pastors, maybe some of them went through seminary, some didn't, but they maybe weren't equipped to understand or teach Bible prophecy. And so this is so important. And guys, if maybe get one of these. Christmas is coming up for your pastor. Wow, what a great idea.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that. I'm flipping right back to the beginning of the book. I'm looking at attributes of God in Revelation. By the way, I really love the theme. I like the flight plan theme and the way that goes throughout the book. But the very next page after that is page 16, the importance of fulfilled prophecy. Whether you're a layperson or pastors, how can this not be an encouraging and hopeful book when you look at what the Bible says and how much we have on fulfilled prophecy and Bible prophecy? It is a hopeful thing for the Christians, and yet there's so much ignorance when it comes to it. So I know your heart is to get people informed and hopeful and understanding what we have to look forward to. But brother, it's been so neglected, and that's why you and Jeff, I think your hearts beat, you know, eschatology and Bible prophecy. Share a little bit about that. I know we've talked about that in the past, but that's just so important. I mean, we can look at so much in the Bible and go, wow. I mean, there's evidence right there, fulfilled prophecy, Bible prophecy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the Bible's about 28% prophecy when it was originally written, and 80% of that has already been fulfilled. And these aren't just small things or coincidental things. We're talking sweeping prophecies of empires, people named specifically named 200 years before they even existed. Of course, all the messianic prophecies. Of course, you know, everything that points to the end times as well. But the fulfilled prophecy, if people slow down long enough to take a look, is the greatest apologetic that the Bible's supernatural in nature. And there's several verses where God actually ties the fulfillment of prophecy to his character. So it's kind of a built-in proof of authenticity. The Bible's the only book ever in history that, number one, claims to be the word of God, not just the writings of man, and number two, backs it up with concrete fulfilled prophecy that you can go back and verify in history. And I can't remember if I shared this before, but I grew up completely unchurched. I was an atheist even at 13 years old. I believed in evolution, whole nine yards. And then through a really weird set of circumstances, the Lord placed me in a Christian school for 3 months, and I heard the gospel. And the one thing I could not explain away that got my attention was fulfilled Bible prophecy.
Wow.
I tried my best to get it out of my brain, and I couldn't. It was the one thing I could not shake. So if you're looking for a great apologetic to convince people that the Bible's the word of God, fulfilled prophecy is a key one. And if you're looking for a great way to encourage believers and let them know they can trust in this word that we love so much, fulfilled prophecy is a great tool for that as well.
Yeah, talk about things that you cannot explain away. God knew what you needed to get you, to draw you in.
Amen.
I didn't remember that about your testimony, brother.
I can't remember if I shared that in passing or not. But
I don't remember you shared, but that's really neat. Because God uses different things to reach different people. Other things you can't explain away. Tens of thousands of archaeological discoveries that point to the Bible as being true and accurate and reliable, and also eyewitness testimony. And then we've got fulfilled prophecy. I mean, there's things that I just don't know how. It takes more faith. Frank Turek wrote a book years ago, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, mm-hmm. right? With all the proof, the evidence, it's very compelling for the biblical worldview. So tell us briefly, I know you do this extensively in the new book, tell us a little bit about the counterfeit Trinity, Todd.
Yeah, so as with everything, you know, Satan doesn't come up with anything really new. He just kind of counterfeits what God does. That's why every cult or false belief system out there brings in a little bit of Christianity, a little bit of truth. But we find that is going to be the case in the end times as well. So instead of Father, Son, Holy Spirit on the evil side, what we find in working in during the tribulation period is Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. So Satan is kind of like the God counterfeit. Antichrist is like the Son counterfeit. And of course, the false prophet is kind of like the Holy Spirit counterfeit that points people to the Antichrist. So there's nothing new under the sun when it comes to the enemy. He just repackages old stuff with his own evil twist. And we can see it coming, but the world doesn't realize how evil and insidious he is.
Yeah. So I'm looking at page, let's see, 101 right now. Tribulation Saints and Martyrs. It talks about Revelation 6 and Revelation 7. Now, I don't know what everyone in your audience and our audience here believes about Charlie Kirk's assassination. I believe he was a Christian martyr. I believe Amen. He was sharing the gospel, the biblical worldview. Yes, he was talking mm-hmm. to politics, but he knew that politics would lead to the ultimate source of freedom, which is Jesus Christ. So why a book like this right now? Because I'm thinking about people need, they understand life is short, at least some people. You know, God gives mm-hmm. us wisdom at times and we're going, okay. He was 31, Charlie Kirk was. A lot of martyrs were killed. I think Stephen in Acts, I think he was in his 20s, mm-hmm. but I don't remember for sure. Tell us a little bit about that and why this book. I know having more hope, you know, is a big answer, but go ahead and just share a little bit more about your...
Absolutely. First of all, I agree 100%. I did a YouTube video right after Charlie Kirk's death. And I called him. I said he was a Christian martyr, and I compared him to Stephen and talked about the similarities. And to be honest, I did get some pushback. I got some people saying he was political. That's why he got killed. And you know, other stuff where they were taking stuff out of context. But the name of your show, A Worldview, he died for his biblical worldview.
Yeah.
If you look at other martyrs of history, it typically wasn't just, hey, I'm preaching the gospel, although that happened as well. It usually had something to do with their biblical worldview that was at odds with whoever was in power, and that's what happened, or at odds with the culture, and they killed them kind of street level violence. But anyway, so I agree with you there. I think a biblical worldview is key, and I think that's why. Other than the fact that fulfilled prophecy led to my salvation, and that's a natural segue to eschatology, that's why I like it. But one mm-hmm. reason I love eschatology is it gives people, especially the younger generation, hope for the future. It anchors them to a past where God started things. It concretely puts together the entire biblical narrative and shows them how, just like your favorite movie or your favorite book, there's a great climax at the end that ties up all the loose ends. The way the church for the past 20 or 30 years, the church at large, not every church, obviously, has been treating Bible prophecy and eschatology is like going to your favorite movie and then walking out before the ending. And we look back to the resurrection, which is amazing. That secured our salvation. But we need to be reminded we're not only a people of reflection, but we're also a people of anticipation. Every good coach or leadership book is going to tell you it's your goals about the future. It's the future that draws you, that makes you persevere, that gives you hope, that gives you something to look forward to. And that's what eschatology is, the return of Christ, the millennial kingdom, heaven, all these beautiful things we have to look forward to. And it reminds us also that this world is not our home. As you mentioned before we started recording, all the studies for Gen Z and Gen Alpha even are showing they're looking for genuine truth. And most of them are very, very anxious and full of anxiety and looking for something to cling to. Now's the time that we can seize the moment, teach them the whole story from Genesis to Revelation, a literal 6-day creation that's backed up by science. a literal history that's backed up by archaeology, like you said, and a literal return that we have to look forward to. We can take the Bible at face value, and we can use it for its intended purpose and be anchored to a promised future that God has waiting for us.
Amen, brother. I do want to give the websites again. I mean, obviously, toddhampson.com, but prophecyprosepodcast.com, and you'll see a visual guide to the end times right there. One of the bullet points in this, it says a clear picture and timeline of what will happen during the end times. Brother, you're it's just so professionally done. These graphics are absolutely amazing. You can tell you've been doing this for your career before you got into these books. It really kudos, brother. Really excellent work.
Thank you.
There is one thing I wanted to ask you about, and that is part four. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, because I think a lot of people have been fascinated by maybe not necessarily demons, although we should be interested in the truth of the demonic realm, but angels too. Angels, I think. Remember years ago, I don't know how many in our audience are old enough to remember Touched by an Angel. And there was this massive fad. I mean, these porcelain figures and all the, it's just this, all these TV shows with angels, and it was just all over them. You couldn't get away from it. I don't know if that was biblical, but what you cover here and what the Bible covers, there's a very real aspect to angels. I mean, you go back to, I think, you know, Daniel, Zacharias, Mary, obviously, Joseph, the shepherds, people that had angel, very real appearances. And it's interesting, even John in Revelation, didn't he just fall flat on his face? The reality of the power, and there's something about angels. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Almost any time you see someone in Scripture, including John in Revelation, seeing an angel without them being veiled, seeing them in their strength and their might, they fall face down as dead men. Or they try to worship the angel, and the angel says, "No, don't worship me. I'm not God." Or don't be terrified. But yeah, angels and demons are real. In the second set of judgments in the future tribulation period, I say the paranormal becomes the new normal, because all of a sudden things shift from kind of natural calamity and earthquakes and that kind of thing to all of a sudden there's a horde of demonic locusts. There's 200 million demonic cavalry, like real literal demons that are going to show up on earth. And also at the same time, amazingly, there's going to be angels that play a huge part, including helping to usher in the judgments. But also the one I love the best is the gospel angel. There's an angel that God will send so that every single, Matthew 24, it says, everyone will hear the gospel and then the end will come. I think that's ultimately talking about this future angel. That's literally the way it's worded in the Greek, is he's going to zip back and forth to every single person on the planet to make sure everyone has heard the gospel, and then the end will come. We see that. We see, and again, every theme we see brought up in Scripture finds its ultimate culmination, including angels and demons and the attributes of God. And there's so much in Revelation. As a matter of fact, it's called Revelation, which means the unveiling. But we treat it the opposite. We treat it like it's something we're supposed to hide or that we can never understand. So that's another passion of ours, is to help people see the meaning of the book itself. And you see angels there like never before.
Yeah, so I think you partially answered maybe what my next question was going to be, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and that is why now, the importance of a book like this on prophecy. We talked a little bit about some pastors who either are not maybe informed or they don't understand Bible prophecy, and so that means a good percentage of the church in America, unfortunately, has not been taught about Bible prophecy in the end times. So I know that's part of your answer. Anything else you'd like to expound on that you and Jeff came out with this book right now?
Yeah, really just to put handles on it. We're almost trying to convince people you can understand it. It is worth studying.
Yes.
It is practical, and it is needed today. There's several issues, but you know, whether it's eschatology or Israel or, like I said, creation or the rapture, these key things that used to be kind of settled truth in evangelical churches are now being challenged or attacked even from within the church. So eschatology touches on all those things. I call it the central nervous system of the Bible, because it connects to key areas of theology, all the key people and all the key promises. So it's a vitally important automatic disciple maker when you study eschatology. It's going to force you to get into the rest of the word, which is a healthy thing, and that we're trying, and this is what we're trying to help as many pastors as possible see the value in teaching eschatology.
Praise God, brother. Before we let you go, I don't want to run out of time and have you not explain what you guys have been working on with youth and future. And what were you guys just doing? You just had a conference recently, didn't you?
So we actually had a conference a year ago that sparked an idea. We have a 501c3 set up called Future Hope. We just hired our national director and just had our first board retreat. We're going to try to do 10 events in 2026, we're going to try to reach 5,000 students in 2026, but we're trying to reach 100,000 students in the next 5 years. And people can go to learn more about that if they go to futurehope.now and they can read all about it there. But yeah, I'm really excited about what God's doing there. And this was before, obviously, any of the Charlie Kirk stuff happened. But everything we were reading, everything we were seeing and experiencing, and we did a youth event last year on the West Coast, and we saw 1,000 kids show up, and they were hungry. Scores of them gave their lives to Christ. So we were like, wow, we need to ride this wave. This is bigger than us. God gets all the glory. We're just seeing open door ministry that we want to step into, not because it's our pet thing or our favorite area of theology, but because we see God moving and we want to join him.
Fantastic, brother. Kudos to you and Jeff. Futurehope.now.
That's okay. It. Perfect.
And you're right. You're right. There's there's this wave that, I mean, it's not a ripple effect. There's a tsunami of youth that not only need hope, but they're searching. They're more interested in truth. And I like that you started this last year, you said? You had your first one?
Yeah. November 2023 was our event. Yep.
So there's something very interesting happening with youth, and with we're trying to reach them, and even the political arm of things at Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization. It's not just political, friends. We are really trying to reach young people and give them hope in Christ. That is the foundation that drives everything, the biblical worldview. Brother, any last words? We've got less than a minute.
Just that I meant to say November 2024. I'm getting my years mixed up. But yeah, no, I'm more excited than ever. It's from in our flesh, it's a scary time to be alive. But in our spirit, we know that God has sovereignly placed us here right now. So ministries like yours and ours and the people that we're trying to reach and encourage, I think we need to lean into this moment, stand strong, and keep pointing people to the Lord.
Amen. Todd Hampson, let's be about God's work here. He's doing a work, and sometimes we just have to kind of go along with what he's already doing. And it's evident to see things happening. When you get things get so dark and maybe hopeless, that's when more people are starting to look for God. Maybe more people are looking up. Again, prophecyprospodcast.com. You can get the book. Brother, thank you for this. Thank you for all that you do. And Lord willing, we'll be in touch. Thanks, Todd.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, friends. Thank you again for watching, listening, and sharing. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.